How many people brought their Bibles? Go ahead and lift them up. Yeah. Some of you got them phones. Good. Nothing wrong with that. I praise God for that. Listen, as long as it's the Word, that's very important. Philippians, the third chapter, if you can turn there with me. I read for the New King James Version, so again, bear with me. Some of you have a different version, and that's okay too. But Philippians 3, and then we're going to start at 4 and read through 14. And I've entitled this, What Are We Reaching For? Maybe you could put you in there. What are you reaching for? But what are we reaching for? Philippians 3, 4 through 14. And it reads like this. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anything else thinks he may, or if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Of course, this is Paul writing to Philippi. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, in the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews,
concerning the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, and then concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Verse 7. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted a loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him, and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus.
May the Lord add His blessing to the reading of the Word. Let's bow for a moment of prayer. Lord God, thank You again that You continue to give us a Word. Lord, as You have given us the Word, we pray that that Word would not return void as the Scripture tells us. But Lord, that it would minister to our need even today and to our spirit man so that we could go from this place and help others in sharing the good news of Christ. So Lord, bless our time together and may we lift up the name of Jesus higher and higher and continue to honor You through what's said and done. And we pray this all in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And they all said, Amen. As you hear Paul writing to Philippi, this is probably one of my most favorite texts, if you will, in Scriptures. One, it's telling us what Paul is about. Paul is trying to tell us almost like a brag session for the first section. You know, he's saying, this is what I am. And if you look at what I am, then what you want to do is say, okay, he is the Pharisee of Pharisees. What does that mean to us today? Well, a Pharisee is like a lawyer today. So if you think about a lawyer, he is the lawyer of lawyers. So he might even be like a judge, if you will. A district judge, or maybe the next level up. And so he was in charge because he knew the law. He knew what was right. He knew what was expected by God. As far as the Hebrew of Hebrews. He was from a tribe that was of the highly priest, the Benjamin tribe, which is really important there because he's showing you why he's a judge and why he's a Pharisee of Pharisees, because he came from that tribe. And so when you think about that, then we start saying, okay, that's wonderful, Paul. We're grateful. And this is actually when it was Saul. Hold on one second. Anthony, will you turn off every other mic but mine? Okay? And that'll eliminate that feedback. Thank you. Okay, so here it is really Saul. Here's Paul writing, but he's referring back into a time of his life where he's saying, this is when I once was. When I once was Saul, I want you to know that these are the things. I was circumcised on that eighth day and of the stock of Israel. So he's telling us all the wonderful things that he used to be. But the most important thing I think here is he says, now what's most important to me. Because all that stuff that I've once accomplished and all the things, the bragging rights I really have as a person, I want you to know that I count them all as some versions. The King James Version says dung. It says loss. And some versions say trash. So he counts all that thing, all the accomplishments, all the titles, everything that he's ever accomplished, he counts them as trash. Why though?
Ask yourself that question. Well, why would he do that? I mean, he's got power, prestige. He's got everything that a person, a human being of a natural descent would want. And he says, no, I count all that as trash. But why? He says, because I've learned who the Lord is. And he calls it Jesus Christ, and he says, my Lord. And it's not just that he knows the Lord. He says that he's learned what the Lord is about and the knowledge of the Lord. That's what makes him Lord. He gained knowledge of who this Jesus is. And if you'll think back in the book of Acts, in the 9th chapter, Saul had that conversion experience where the bright light shone, where the Lord came and blinded him, and he was blinded for 3 days on the road to Damascus. And when he was blinded, he was guided to the street called Straight into a place where he would be in prayer. And then a man named Ananias came and laid hands on him. Remember that story? And Ananias was a man of prayer and a man of God and following Jesus. And the Lord said, go and lay hands on him, anoint him with oil, and pray for him. I guarantee you Ananias was fearful. Just like Miss Betty up here ready to faint, I guarantee you Ananias was in that state. Are you sure you want me to go to this guy that's taking captive all the people of the way, the ones who are following Jesus? Are you sure you want me to go? Because he's even a murderer of those type people. And now you're asking me to go. Ananias went, thank the Lord. Was obedient, laid hands on him. Things like scales fell from his eyes and hit the ground. And he could see. That's why he can say now in this letter to Philippi that he knows Jesus as my Lord. Not only was he blinded 3 days, but then Jesus showed up through the man named Ananias where he could now see what the Lord is asking him to be. And so, now he continues in his ministry. Not only does he have this vision of knowing who the Lord is, he says that I count all these things lost, listen, for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ, be found in him, and not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. So, it's not about what Paul is anymore. And you remember that scripture in Galatians where it says, and Paul says actually, he says, no longer is it I who live, but it is Christ who liveth in me, and if you will, through me. And so Paul's referring to that. He's saying, listen, the most important thing you can do is gain the excellence of the knowledge of the Word of God. So it's not about you. It's not about what you possess or what you've done. It's about now gaining the knowledge. And how do we do that? So I'm asking this today. It's more or less is the title of the sermon. What are you reaching for in your life? What are your aspirations, if you will? You know, some people want to be a concert pianist. My son is, I think, waned away from that. And you know why? Because it's like the NFL. Or it's like the NBA. There's a lot of great human beings that are athletes that are good. Or pianists that are good. But you know there's only a very small percentage. And I want to say less than 5% that ever make it to the very, very top and perform for the world stage. So in reality, our aspirations sometimes are bigger than what we really are. But I want to say that these are attainable for you. Because John Wesley, he nailed it. And I'm going to share that just in a second. But what I'm asking you today is, what are you reaching for? As a spiritual human being, as a spiritual person, as a church person, a Christian, a born-again believer, what are you reaching for? What do you want to accomplish here on this earth? You know, we only have so long. Amen? I mean, in reality, he says 70. Now, that's 70. Some of you, that's 70. 70. Do you hear what I said? Some of us have outlasted our coverage already. And praise the God for that. Okay, praise God for that. But that's what He's promised us when you live for Him. And so some of us, I'm looking 70, man. I got 16 years left. What can I do? How can I impact the world? How can I impact my world, if you will, for the betterment of Christ? And so those are questions I think we need to ask ourselves. How do I make this church better? How can I leave it better than I found it? How can I help this church be all that it can be for Linden, for my community, that some of you that were raised here, some of us that moved in 60 years ago. I've heard that, and you're still visiting. That's a quote. I mean, I'm telling you, I can tell you who said that. But anyway, the thing is, what are we reaching for? What are we striving for in our lives as Christians? And I want to say that Paul says the excellence of the knowledge of the Word of God. So that means we need to be students of the Word. If you're not a student of the Word, then maybe we need to tweak our focus, and that we need to change our target, if you will. If you have a bullseye, and what is the target? I want to say the target is reaching heaven. Amen? I mean, that's our goal. The target is, listen, I want to make sure I get there, and that is going to heaven. I want to make sure I go there. But the next part, if you will, in the outer ring, I think it's need to know, not just know Him, but how do I get to know Him? I get to know Him by reading the letters that He has written to us. How much He loves us. How much He cares for you when you're down and out. How He's there always willing to lift you up out of the muck and the mar. And if you've stumbled and fall, then He's willing to say, here, let me help you up. I'm there for you, if you will. In essence, I'm always there for you. No matter what you're facing, no matter what you see, no matter what people say about you, I love you. You are a King's kid. Listen to that. You are important to Him. He says you are joint heirs with Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but if you're part of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and you're that joint heir with Him, your inheritance is what? It's being in heaven with Him. It's being in heaven with Him. And so as we reach toward that, as we focus that, as that is our goal. I think Paul's trying to give us some insight to say, to get there, you have to know Him. You have to understand how He loves you and how He depends on you to fill the shoes of others that have come and have gone. And let me say this. A word came this Friday night at the football game. I mean, it was like God spoke to me just as plain as day right before I prayed at the game. And it was amazing how I was there with Miss Jill Tuck. Because she was warming up. She was all nervous like Miss Betty. Now, you couldn't even imagine Jill Tuck being nervous singing, right? So I might be letting the cat out of the bag. So don't go and tell her. Say, Brother Tony used to. Don't do that. Please don't do that. But she was nervous, and I just said, you know, I got a word from the Lord for you, and I think it's for all of us, though. I think it's for all of us that we have talents and we have gifts. And if you think about it, how God passed the mantle on. You remember a couple of people named Elijah and Elisha, remember? And one of them wanted to know, if I could just be there when you go. And I think Elijah said, well, you know, if you're there when I go, you'll get a what? Do you remember? A double portion. A double portion blessing. If you're there when I go, because I'm leaving. I know I'm leaving. And if you're there when I go, you'll get a double portion. More or less, you're passing on the mantle. And that was his protege. That was his mentor, if you will. And so Elisha was saying, yes, yes, I'll be there. And he wanted to be there, and he was there. And he received the mantle. And he received a double blessing. A double portion, if you will. And I'm saying that, listen, there are people in this church that it's time to pass the mantle. It's time. It's time to pass the mantle. And there's young people that are coming up that need to understand that you will receive a double portion because you're taking on the role of, if you will, in that instance, the prophet. Whatever it is that you're gifted with, whatever it is that you're asked to do in the church, it's you're going to get a double portion. And so I ask you this, what are you reaching for? Are you reaching for excellence in this worldly things? Are you reaching out to be the best that you possibly can be in whatever vocation you have chosen? And I want to say, I think you're off target. The target is to be holy. God says in 1 Peter 1 and 15 and 16, He says, in all of your conduct be holy. And then in 16 it says, because the one who has called you out is holy, therefore you should be holy. And so I'm saying, what is it that we... Look at the mirror today. Look at yourself today. Everyone should be saying, what is it that I can do? That I can be better? That I can be like this guy from Saul to Paul? I used to have it all, but I don't want that stuff of the world. I want the things that God has set for me. And when I think of that, I say, what is it, Lord, that I can do, that I can be, that I can share the gifts that You've given me, the wealth that I have, whatever it is that Your time and effort and all that, whatever I can do to make this better, to make it the best that we possibly can be, it lays upon you today. It lays upon me today. Because we're the ones in this church. I remember a day at my last church, and oftentimes I heard, well, Aunt Sue used to sit right there. And Uncle George, his family would sit right over there behind me, and right next to me, right. They would always be right there. I can see them there today. It's just like yesterday they were there. They're in your mind. They're there. And you remember all the fond memories, but they're no longer there. The mantle's been passed. The mantle's been given to you. And God's saying, well, what are you reaching for? What are you wanting to do with what I've given to you? Are you going to squander it, or are you going to just let it lay there and die? Are you going to make it alive and healthy and zealous and get excited about what the opportunities God's given to you? And to glorify His holy name. And to lift up the name of Jesus and represent Him wherever you are and whatever you do. The mantle has been passed. And so my question to you today is, what are you reaching for? And I pray that, as John Wesley so wonderfully preached about Christian perfection, is that you'd remember this. It's not perfection of doing. It's perfection of loving. That's what he talked about. The ultimate perfection, Christian perfection, is having the love of God in your soul to share with everyone you come in contact with. That's what John Wesley talked about. That's what John Wesley was convicted about. That's what John Wesley started the church about, was because he wanted people to recognize the ultimate is the love of God and sharing that with other people. Therefore, we pass on the mantle of the love of God and ask people, do you understand? Will you receive Him? And will you live for Him in a loving, kind way?